But what I'd really like to do is something extraordinary.
Welcome back to The Ground Level. I'm your host, Sean. Been a little MIA the past couple weeks, taking care of some business. Got a lot to cover today. If everybody caught Brian's last episode, wanted to kind of touch on that a little bit. So let's get into it. Again, welcome back to The Ground Level. Please follow us wherever you listen to your podcasts, Spotify, RSS. I'm a particular favorite of FM Player, and you can also find us at Rumble. Wanted to dive right into it today. I've been gone a couple weeks, kind of getting back into the swing of things. Just been overloaded with work and family and all that fun stuff. A lot to cover today. It's going to be a shorter episode, but one of the first things I wanted to touch base on was, you know, if everybody listened to the last episode of Brian, he had some excellent points about the State of the Union speech, which was, you know, over the years has just kind of turned into a bit of a joke. I mean, it's just entertainment value at this point. Brian made a great point about, you know, we don't know exactly what that sounded like 100 years ago. We have some recordings of 50, 60 years ago, but, you know, it's what it is now is just shows how we are 100% right to the ground, divided. Nobody's going to listen. And he said it perfectly. You know, we are the United States. We're supposed to have a common goal moving forward. Where Brian and I often, you know, we part ways is the centrist point of view about, well, you know, everybody's just trying to make the country better and we just need to talk it out. No, not anymore. This is where we divide, is because there is a political demographic in our country now, the Democrat Party, that has lost its way. Now, you can say that over the decades and the years, you know, perhaps that's happened to the Republicans over the past two centuries at some point. Of course it did. Everybody seems to go through the shifts and phases, whatever you want to call it, but there is that demographic. The Democrats right now are in full throttle. Well, right now, because they've lost all this power that they were in, you know, full throttle with during the Biden years, the Obama years especially, they gave so much power to the angry and to the bitter and the crooked and the those that felt left out, and they were giving them power to disrupt, while they none of them cared. They don't care about any of these policies. They don't care about any of the people. None of them do. I've said it a billion times. The Washington, D.C. machine is a shit show, and it's nothing but corruption. I imagine, you know, just some of that stuff that's getting exposed, and we'll talk a little bit later about the Doge situation, but some of that stuff that's being exposed is just like getting punched in the gut. You know, we all suspected, you know, corruption was going on. But my goodness. Those programs that came out, millions and billions of dollars, it's unbelievable. Yeah, forgive me, I am really tired here. Like I said, just trying to get back into the swing of things. But just that alone, and that's still just scratching the surface. You know, that's nowhere near. I bet our heads would completely spin around if we really saw what was going on. But I don't want to get too far into that at the moment. The State of the Union, you know, the Republicans constantly cheering every time Trump just blinked. You know, it was annoying. It just kind of shows. And of course, the Democrats that don't want to, you know, applaud for anything, he pointed that out in his speech. You know, he said, there's nothing I can do. I could solve all the world problems. I could, you know, bring world peace onto the earth. You know, I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he did basically say, there's nothing that I can possibly do. These are the Democrats of today. And honestly, just watching it, they behaved like petulant, spoiled brat children. They've had their way for so long. their money now is getting disrupted. And that's really what this is about. They don't care about transgender kids. They don't care about Black Lives Matter. They don't care about any of these culture war situations. They just don't like that their money's being disrupted through those ideals, through those narratives. You know, we'll say this and then we'll launder money through it. We'll set up a look at what Black Lives Matter did. I mean, that was just a joke. But anyway, the entire speech, which was really long, there are a few good points here and there, I felt, but you know, there were still a lot of issues that we wanted to hear about that didn't really come to surface. Bernie Sanders, you know, kind of responded to that. And Brian and I, as everybody knows, we really part ways when it comes to Bernie Sanders. I think he's just a complete political hack. And to suggest that, well, his millions of dollars is just a drop in the bucket to the problem. I don't care. When you have $40 million sitting in the bank, you don't worry about your bills. You don't worry about how your kids are going to be for two generations deep. When you have that kind of money, you're living off interest alone. So I don't care if you have $40 million, $200 million, $10 billion, whatever you want to call it. Now, granted, somebody that has $400 billion, that's an insane amount of money. But I don't necessarily begrudge them because they have money. What are they doing with that money? What are they doing with their position, their power that they have with that money? You know, those are some things that, yeah, analyze it. Are they being like George Soros? And that's one of the things that I'm shocked at, is everybody's just losing their shit over Elon Musk, when I would argue that George Soros has done far more damage to this country using his political influence through his billions of dollars, putting activist judges into seats all across the country. That is one evil man. And yes, I will say it. It's evil. There's a growing surge of trying to suggest that evil doesn't exist. That's just a way of thinking. You know, when we start masquerading and changing language, pulling the veil over people's eyes, getting all the way down to our children with changing language, you know, I mean, think of this right now with the pedophiles that I will argue, and those that just don't want to see it, it is an epidemic. Yes, there have always been pedophiles and creeps and sex trafficking, but it is on such a large scale now. And I would suggest that the internet has a lot to do with that. But as I often do, once again, I've kind of gotten off topic. And what I'm trying to suggest here is that you're watching bratish children. I mean, I don't know any other way to say it. Behaving, these are politicians making millions of dollars off the backs of taxpayers. And then they're sitting there behaving in such a manner when they're supposed to be a representation of their constituents, of different states, all that. And to watch them behave like this just out of spite was just disgusting, for crying out loud. I mean, even the thing with the cancer kid, you know, who's, from what I understand, he still has cancer, or was it that he pulled out of it? Either way, it's all the things that we already know. Everybody's already talked about this. You have even Fetterman, you have Democrats even going, this is ridiculous. I can't believe they behaved in this manner, just out of spite. And then for them to go, well, you know, I mean, I would wager that Republicans would do the same thing right now if Biden were in that seat. No, we can pull it up. In fact, I will. We can pull it up where in the first couple of years of Biden, and especially Obama, there were some situations where there were some good things going done or happening to the community, to the lower level, the ground level, if you will, community, and Republicans did clap. So that's a point of view that's dangerous when we constantly try to say that it's all equal, that there aren't people right now really trying to destroy this country for political gain, for monetary gain. It's always about money and power. And if they can keep everybody afraid and pissed off at each other, you know, there's always a new crisis to manifest, because then they can generate new taxes. The State of the Union, again, I couldn't even sit through it all because it was so annoying. The absolute, you know, gosh, okay. And I'm not going to, again, it's just too much. It's just too much. It's stupid. You can sit there and listen to it and go, okay, I understand that the State of the Union is mentioned in Article 2 of the Constitution. It has its place, or it had its place. You know, it was a president at the time saying, this is what we've accomplished. This is what we're going to do. He maybe had a few hisses and boos back in the, you know, mid-1800s. But this is just, you know, we're not a British parliament anymore. And that's, gosh, that's so funny that just popped in my mind. Because if you look at, you know, the English parliament and their systems, and they're always making noises and barking at each other. And who are the ones that always relish Europe? It's always Democrats. They always use them as some example. It's like they forgot that's who we got away from. We have nothing to do with England anymore. We're not the same culture. We split for a reason. And we embarked on this great experiment that, frankly, at the moment, seems to be failing. Failing in its own task, which was to be one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. It's just a matter of time till that gets changed too. The, you know, one nation under God. We already have the attack in our schools and all this. But the State of the Union, I just didn't take seriously. I mean, I really couldn't. I understand Brian's take on that. It's again, he's good at being a centrist and trying to give benefit of the doubt to everything, to every political divide. Well, they would do this too, and yes, they would do this too, and not anymore. There's just a different feel, and I think denying that, it's scary. Well, and it's dangerous, because if most people took that approach, you would have there'd be no success. There'd be no progress if everybody took, you know, speaking of progress, I've mentioned that before. That word just, it almost nauseates me anymore when I hear it. I remember 10, 20 years ago when that started becoming the new buzzword, when everybody was saying, you know, progress, progress, it's progressive. I've said it before. Well, Ted Bundy was progressing and had his mastered art of serial killing. Progress is a neutral. What are you doing? What are you making progress in? But they capture these words, and then they act as if they own them. Yeah, like they have ownership of these words. And then they sell it to the people. What, you're not progressive? Well, I want to make progress. It's an easy way to just twist people's mind, and that's one thing that they are masters of. And as I was just going to say a moment ago about, look at what we've done with pedophiles. Well, they're not pedophiles anymore. They're MAPs. What is that? Minor attracted persons. We have this constant attack on normalcy right now. And you know, right away, well, what's normal? Yeah, I get it. But we have some, there are some basic routine functions of human existence. Brian's take is a little different than mine as far as some of the responses to the State of the Union, which is Bernie Sanders. I've said it so many times that, and I don't think I will ever get tired of it, while Bernie Sanders may say the same things over and over, and he's consistent and he sticks to his principles. Yeah, but he doesn't live like it. And I'm curious if Brian would have had, or anybody of that matter, and I don't mean to keep jumping on Brian here because he's really not here to defend himself. Speaking of, here in about a week, we're gonna get together again, and we're gonna have a great episode. But Bernie Sanders, I can't stand. I cannot stand that guy. It is true. He does believe what he's saying. Oh, everybody, forgive me. I am so sorry about this. But part of the problem with Bernie Sanders is he has been in the Senate all his life. Well, he's been in politics all his life. He doesn't know any different. And that machine, that DC machine, is the problem. So you can say all day long what your principles are. It's like that position that, well, yeah, and I'm not specifically saying about Bernie Sanders at the moment, but anybody that goes, well, yes, he's lying, but at least he's saying the right things. You can't take that approach. If you do that, that immediately, the second that somebody finds out that you're lying, that you lose credit. So you can't put trust in people that lie. I want to see him live by his principles. Yeah, that gets back to it's a drop in the bucket. No, I don't care. You don't need $40 million. You don't need 4 beach houses. I thought climate change was so awful, but you're buying oceanfront properties. You know, and again, if Bernie Sanders sells books and all this kind of stuff, good for him. That doesn't bother me. That's what America's about. Go out and make your money. But don't chastise others that made money because they have a red R by their name. It's just hypocritical nonsense bullshit. I'm just so sick of it. The State of the Union really meant nothing to me. It was almost like it was just an entertainment show for a moment. And I wonder if that was not the feel 150 years ago. And so one of the things that I did really want to dive into today, and we're really going to talk about this, we're going to hammer this home when Brian and I get together here, is Washington State. What an absolute shit show it is right now. There is no middle ground here anymore in Washington State. There is no opposition to the machine of Washington State. They are going full throttle at taking away our rights. Washington is turning into, it just surrounding me. I'm watching it transform into this communist, socialistic, fear-mongering, power-hungry paradise for Democrats. I have a theory, because so many people have left the state that don't, I just can't take this anymore. Number one, Democrats hate cars, but they drive them. They love electrical cars, but they hate Elon Musk. They call Elon, but Nazi on his car, but Volkswagen. Does everybody know the history on that with Hitler? Yeah, we'll save that for another time. They're just so corrupt and crooked. And I won't even say that about the people that vote for them. A lot of them just don't know. I pay attention to politics. I'm engaged. I try to see what's happening, especially on the local level, which I would argue is more important than on the federal level because it directly affects us hard. I mean, there are clearly things in the federal level that can affect us, but they're there to protect us from states running wild. Right now, Washington is running wild, and there's like this beaking, this flash, people begging for help, hoping that the federal government will see what's going on here in the state of Washington, in our school systems, our gun rights, the vaccine stuff. My gosh, that bill that passed that basically gave autonomy to the state of Washington because of the way they masterfully word these bills. Where there's a lot of nuance and vague wording, which is like, what does that actually mean? Well, based on the science, we will implement all vaccinations and protocols, these kind of things. Well, what do you mean based on the science? And who's, what science are we referring to? Do the people get to read this as well? Do you make this public? What are you referring to? And secondly, what do you mean that gives you then the power to implement, the power and authority to implement safety measures? That's scary stuff. The idea of people coming to your door and trying to, you know, give you a vaccine, pump something in your body that you don't know. We know what a hoax and bullshit lie that was. All the mask crap, the 18 different boosters. You get a booster and you will not get sick. And then they got sick. I mean, and what amazes me is they's, you know, the Faucis and Democrats and all this, and stay home, stay safe, and the triple masks, and just that chaos that everybody remembers of the COVID time, of the COVID years. Remember, 2 weeks ended up being 3 years of that fucking bullshit. We knew right out the gate, my entire family. Week and a half into it, we were going, nope, they're gonna turn this into something else. And they did. They turned it into bars, rallies, riots in the streets. All that can stay open. Gambling can stay open. Churches shut down. What I was stunned by the stuff that was going on that was so clearly politically motivated. And if you dare said anything, you know, you got ostracized. You got canceled. You got thrown online as a, you know, science denier. It's amazing how people behave. And if nothing else, that should scare the hell out of everybody. The way people behaved around here, people that you thought you knew, good friends, families torn apart over that COVID crap. Pfizer, Moderna, politicians making billions of dollars off that, doctors getting rich. And nobody really knew what they were putting into their body. It's so frightening because of how many people just went along and didn't question. And then those that didn't question the government got mad at those that did. Now, I grew up as a time where you questioned authority. It was in our gut. It was in our DNA. I'm not quite sure exactly where that comes from. Probably the music I listen to. But I do believe there was something special about Gen X. But even half of the Gen X now, they look for that piece of it, that person of authority, that lab coat, to tell them what to do. And this is just frightening. This is exactly how they seize control. And then when, you know, things get so bad and people are so pitted against each other, that's when other nations rally and they make a hit. Washington State is just in a complete shit show situation at the moment because of the power that they have locked down. I mean, there is no dissent. There's no pushback. And the people continue to see these articles, you know, on Facebook. I'll post, you know, anything, a picture of a Corvette or something at 80 to 200 likes. Here in Washington State, you go, hey, did anybody see this bill? Crickets. Nobody says anything. You might get one or two likes from people that are brave enough to like it, but everybody has been conditioned to be afraid. And I know there's a lot of people that have the same positions as me. So we're well beyond, hey, let's just have a conversation. We're reaching a point where the people need to really, we're getting to a point where people need to do some deep thinking about where are we going next? When is the time to act, to push back? And I'm not talking about just, you know, emailing your representative and waiting 2-3 weeks. I'm talking about a real pushback. And that's where we're on that fine line right now, as far as I'm concerned. From our school systems, our legislators, our governor, Governor Bob Ferguson, who I've said many, many times, Senator Patty Murray, they're all disgusting politicians. It's just power and money. Bob Ferguson's been rubbing his hands for this seat for so many years. I think we did an episode several back where I kind of went, I flew off the hinge at Bob Ferguson. I mean, that guy makes me sick to my stomach. And I'm not saying that, you know, just as a euphemism. I mean it. When I see him, when I see a picture of him, I physically get nauseated because I know what he is. I know that type of person. I know those eyes. He loves this power. He has disdain for people that do not think like him. And that's what this is all about. And he's a real smooth liar. Really smooth. But they all in here in Washington State, we've done episodes on some of the bills and this kind of thing. And this is getting to be scary stuff. The stuff that's happening in our schools. The stuff that's behind parents' backs. The rights being taken away from parents to know what's happening to their child. Right now, there's a discussion of a bill that's getting a hearing about if your child was, you know, molested by a teacher, the school not having to report that to the parents for 48 hours. 48 hours. The entire school system, people have gone after those jobs now. They feel that's where to attack. Get to the kids. Get to them early. And all this transgender, absolute transgender nonsense that's been pushed on people. Hollywood playing their bullshit. How can there be that many transgender kids in Hollywood? There is a sickness that is among us right now. Chris Rakedal is one of them. He's the Washington State Public Education Superintendent. That guy screams pedophile all over his face. I mean, he is just a disgusting, slimy piece of shit. And he's just like Bob Ferguson. They're two peas in a pot, hand in hand. And you can see their grins on their face. Chris Rakedal in particular, this attack on children, I mean, making statements that parents do not have the right to know if their child is wanting to transition. You know, the public schools are to educate. They are not to parent your kids. And I don't get how so many people can go along with this garbage. You know, we should be just common sense. You know, if somebody was feeling a certain way, you need to have that conversation with them. Get a therapist. What's going on? Why are you feeling like this? Instead of pushing it and encouraging it, making it a kids, and especially when they're getting into puberty, and I remember it well, you're all over the place. You don't have any real logical skills, let alone to decide something as drastic as that. To have people pushing drugs into these kids, screwing up their lives, and then you have this entire young generation of college students that buy into this shit, and they're so angry about it. You question it for a moment. You can likely get punched, spit on, screamed at, surrounded. The Democrats of the 70s and 80s and 90s are not what the Democrat Party is now. It is a runaway train of this woke culture bullshit. And that's what it is. There's nothing else to call it. Well, no, I'll take that back. It's just evil. And that's kind of what has been the theme of today, is that that's exactly what it is. It's a level of evil. Whether they know it or not, and I think a lot of them do know it, because they've got their own personal perverted agendas of twisting up society. And what I was saying earlier too about Washington State in particular is that I suspect with the people leaving, they're fine with that. They don't like cars. They want everybody on trains. They want it all for themselves. They see the congestion. They see so many houses. But those that are in houses, they're, you know, working hand in hand with builders and developers and BlackRock and all these things to buy up all these properties and turn them all into rentals. Then you can control rent prices. I mean, they are on a torturous path to the people. And the people are blindly and willingly going along with it. Well, they know what's best for me. No, they don't. They don't give a shit about you. None of them do. Yeah, some may when they get right out of college and they want to go into politics and make a change. But once they get into that system, our corrupt system, it changes them, twists them up. That's why I like Tulsi Gabbard so much. She just seems to really be very principled and stick to her guns on a variety of issues. I mean, she just seems really like she's full of integrity. But again, coming back to Washington State, we're watching this stuff go on. You know, there's a teacher here that is still being investigated, but this is the kind of thing I'm talking about corruption. When the state of the Washington, who is responsible to the people, and they don't believe that anymore. They believe they're the authority of the people. We're just their subjects. That is their mentality. It doesn't get any simpler than that. They truly believe that we're here to serve them. And so but they throw out the narratives of, you know, existential threat to democracy and all this kind of nonsense to keep you in line, keep you afraid. Trump is the devil. All this kind of nonsense. It's sickening. We've watched I can't remember exactly which one, and I'll have to look it up later, but it's either the gubernatorial vote or it's one of our elections. I'll have to look again, but here in Washington State, they do mail-in ballots. And you have to declare on the ballots for a certain voting session. You have to have on the outside of the ballot, you got to declare Democrat or Republican. Why do you think that is? There's no other reason to do that than to those now who've been programmed to hate Republicans tossing out your envelope as it arrives. This state is so ass backwards right now in policy. They're passing bills to make it, well, number one, they're having hearings on these bills at midnight and 2 a.m. where the public doesn't even know what's going on. There's been some interns that have been leaking this stuff out to people like Jason Rance and Brandy Cruz, and they've been exposing what our government's doing here in the state of Washington. I live in Tacoma, Washington. Tacoma's a shit show as well. They just follow their marching orders from the state, which follows its marching orders from California, which gets its marching orders from the World Economic Forum. I mean, these are all our former governor, Inslee. He was a member of that World Economic Forum. And I would imagine that we'd looked it up, Bob Ferguson is as well. But people keep voting these people in. You know, it's interesting about that too, because I know so many people that are sick of this. And you walk around in Washington State afraid to, you have to test the waters. It's very, very much like the Nazis. You're afraid you'll get ratted. You'll be exposed as a thinker, somebody who, you know, doesn't toe the line. I know that firsthand as a businessman here in Washington State. You got to be real careful. I'm often nervous that, you know, there's a select few that know of our podcast here. But I do get nervous. It's just a matter of time to where it spreads like fire that I apply critical thinking skills, and we just can't tolerate that. This is a sad time in Washington State. I've been here the majority of my life. I mean, I've lived in a lot of states, but I'm from Washington. And it's such a gorgeous state, and that's exactly what I'm kind of circling back to, is I have my suspicions that they want it for themselves. If we can completely, 100% lock down this state and never have opposition ever again, and just completely command control, they're fine with it. I think that's their goal, is to put that scarlet letter on those that don't think like it. The ones that leave, bye. More for us, less competition. We'll never lose our seats. We'll always be in power now. And frighteningly, that's what it looks like, is that it's going to be this way for much, much longer. Because the people like Brandi Kruse, Dory Monson, God rest his soul, a lot of suspicions on that strange death that came out of nowhere. He was the biggest thorn in Governor Inslee's side for a very long time. The second he passed away, many of us were scratching our heads like, hold on a second, what? Now the guy was overweight, and that was, again, this is where their masters, they knew to use that. Well, he was having, look at how overweight he was. And people go, well, I guess that makes sense. It's the perfect crime. And they're really smooth at their crimes. I suspect there is nothing but fraud, money laundering going on in our state as well. What was that? Oh, I can't remember his name. It was one of, not Bitcoin, but it was a cryptocurrency. A guy that scammed everybody. And then we found out that there's a small town in Eastern Washington, a very small town, tiny little bank. That's where he was hiding his laundered money. Got caught, barely made into the news. But why did that funnel that happen here? He wasn't even from here. This state goes on and on and on with corruption. Bills to take away your gun rights. The newest one is that will likely pass. That's supposed to be where you now need to apply to receive a permit to then apply to purchase a gun. So you got to get a permit so you can apply to purchase a gun. We already have background checks here. But it's the state now believing that they're the authority. They will decide if you deserve a weapon. Last time I checked, and this is just what boggles my mind, I'm clearly not an attorney. How have they gotten around shall not be infringed? Infringed. I mean, that's so basic. You can't mistake that. State of Washington, again, having these midnight hearings nobody knows about, and then suddenly these things are law. And by then it's too late. The people don't even know what happened. I'm tired of what's going on here, and my family and I are often looking at where do we go. And it's always that torn battle of should we go? This is our home. Yeah, but I mean, at one point, it's not your home anymore when you're under the rule of an authoritarian regime, really. And see, and that's, again, the genius of what they do. They say that Trump, it's always what they're doing, they project. They point the finger at the opposition and say they're the ones doing it. They get ahead of that. I keep saying it because it's just true. They have truly mastered that tactic. Everything they're doing, say the other guy's doing it. Get out in front of it. Because then when they say that you're doing it, well, see, they're just retaliation. I mean, it's pretty incredible what they've done. So all those marching orders, the existential threat to democracy, we've all seen those videos now where news anchors and politicians across the country say the same verbatim, lines. and they sit in a chair and they got a pencil, you know, it's just like, well, this works, do it. I want to close this episode out and kind of give an example of exactly what I mean with the way they have mastered tearing people apart, pitting families against each other, friends and friends, coworkers. I mean, everything. Everybody's at each other's throats right now. And if they're not, they're just waiting to pounce. A very dear family member of mine, whom I grew up with, my father, it is sad that he is so overwhelmed and drowning in these Democrat narratives. It has consumed him. And my brother and I have talked about this many times. He really thinks he's doing the right thing. It's coming from a good place at this point. When will that develop into so much hatred and anger to where now it's just an attack? But we can't have a conversation with him anymore. It's all about Trump is evil. Trump is going to build a Confederate army. He's going to throw out the Constitution. He's going to, finally claim forever position of power as a king. And it just goes on and on and on. And he moved to a red state. And I find that hilarious. In his state, you don't have a homeless epidemic. You don't have homeless encampments. You don't have rampant drug use. You don't have needles on the street. You don't have people taking shits out in the street where people are driving. You don't have the zombies walking around. It might be one or two, but nothing like what we see here in Washington. It is unbelievable. There's a new bill that's up right now. This is another example, and I'm going to get back to my father, but there's a bill that's coming up right now that if you're a teenager, if you're a teen murderer, but you've only killed one person, they're going to release you early. Now, if you killed two, yeah, that's bad. That's unacceptable. But if you've murdered one person, this is the bill, is to let people out early if they're teens. Because it hurts the minority community when these people are, it affects the minority community disproportionately. Well, they're the ones doing the crimes. There's probably in some fine print of the bill or some clause, or there could be some policy somewhere. You know damn well, though, it will not be allowed to come anywhere near. Just like the homeless encampments, they're in Washington State. They're making the homeless encampments and the homeless drug users a protected class. And getting back to that other bill that I just mentioned about the teen that has killed only one person being able to be released. Yeah, they're going to give you free. They're going to give them taxpayer housing for a year. This is the kind of insanity. How can this be? I just don't get that. This is where we got to. Here's another example. Our former governor, Jay Inslee. He granted clemency to Percy Levy. The guy was a career criminal, just a dirtbag piece of shit. Inslee was our previous governor. He carried the torch right over to Bob Ferguson, who was his attorney general at the time. Percy Levy was just a couple days ago. He was arrested on 11 felonies. and it was reported that he had enough fentanyl that he was distributing to kill thousands. Democrats used this guy as, They used Percy Levy as a story of redemption. And they used that story of him, of redemption, in order to justify bills to release criminals early. You see how this all ties together? They're on a mission. It's create the chaos. Create so much chaos and fear to where the people seek the government for help. There are our saviors. This Percy Levy was just a piece of shit. I remember when they were doing that, when Inslee let him out, we were just like, oh, here we go. And it was just for the optics because he was African-American. Things are just spiraling out of control, and I can't say it enough because it really is frightening. It's pretty scary. So Inslee's out. This guy gets arrested again. Who knows in this time that he's been out how many people died because of his drug distribution of fentanyl. He was sitting here in Washington, you know, that Percy Levy, he was sitting on the Black Lives Matter board. And we all know, you know, the founders of Black Lives Matter and their mansions and all this. You see the continuing corruption that goes on? They gave this guy clemency just for the optics because he was black. And again, that would then justify their bills that they were, you know, going up for hearings to let criminals out early. See, rehabilitation can help, but it didn't. It got worse. There's some people that just don't belong. There's just some people that don't belong in society. It's really sad what's going on here in Washington State, and I hope it turns around, not to, you know, end on such a somber note here. But it's heartbreaking to those of us that are going through it here in this state. I can't even really describe it other than just tell you the bills and what's going on and the feelings around here. You have to experience it. The way people treat each other, the way that people, you know, give these nasty glares when you're at a job site and people are trying to kind of, you know, test the waters to see where you stand. They're trying to find out if you oppose the government, and they have no problem ratting you out. Anybody's any kind of a student of history, what does that sound like? It's exactly what was happening during the Nazi time. And like I said a moment ago, what have they mastered? Their process, what they're doing, but they say the other person's doing it. So it's just sickening. Calling Republicans Nazis. Republicans want to take control away from women. No, they don't. And that whole thing, nobody understood how that worked anyways with the Roe versus Wade being overturned. Sorry about that. But it's just a continuing saga of a communist growth here in the state of Washington. Folks, thanks again for listening to The Ground Level. Tune into us, and here in about a week, Brian and I are going to get together again, and we're going to hash some things out as we often do. Again, follow us on Spotify. You can find our main channel over there at Rumble and anywhere else you're listening to your podcast. Thanks again for listening to The Ground Level, and I'm Sean, your host, and I will be back here in about a week.